Suns can do a little celebrating with a W here.
For the game! Got it! Off the glass! Devin Booker!
You're listening to The Solar Panel, a Phoenix Suns show, part of Almighty Baller Radio.
So back in my drive and dish days, I had tuned into NBA Sirius Radio, and I heard on the show one morning, and this was right after, I can't remember if it was Markieff Morris trade or it was Markieff Morris beef or what, has something stupid with Markieff Morris. And Dave King was on, and I hit him up on Twitter, and I asked Dave last minute if he could come on the Drive and Dish podcast, and of course he obliged. And I was so excited at the time because as a fan, as a Suns fan, I put Bright Side of the Sun on this pedestal, you know, where it was a really, really big deal to me. And having had Dave on the Solar Panel since we started, I feel like we haven't quite yet talked about what your role is over at Bright Side of the Sun, what Bright Side of the Sun exactly is, any new content you're pumping out, because there's always something on Bright Side of the Sun.
Oh, thanks, Tim. You're being too kind, for sure. That's a very big intro. I appreciate that. Then I got on the podcast, and you realize I've got a voice for writing, so that's okay. but I like podcasts too. So, I love to write. Just by default, I prefer doing that. It's kind of like my meditation. And we've got a really good team of writers on Bright Side of the Sun. We have a handful of guys who contribute almost every week, and another handful of guys who contribute irregularly, but their content is really good when they do it. Every day we've got 2 to 4 new stories out there, and they're all unique. They're all different. They're our own takes on local and national news, and they're unique takes that maybe nobody else has had. And so I've always tried to focus on trying to have a take that other people have not picked up on already. But at the same time, we've got our season recaps going right now. We're about halfway through the team on doing report cards for each of the players and the coach and the front office eventually as well. And then we've got the draft previews starting. We're focusing right now on the top five because the Suns are guaranteed a top five pick. And at some point, we're going to have that draft lottery actually in about a week and a half. And that's going to tell us where the Suns are actually going to pick, and we'll focus on that. And then after that, we'll focus on that 32nd pick that they have in the draft as well, because you can always get a good player there. They got Tyler Ulis at number 34 last year. And in the past, Goran Dragic and other second-round picks have turned out really good for the Suns, and including Jeff Hornacek way back in the late 80s. So I think, I appreciate the kind words, Tim, and our site is a collective for sure. We really have a lot of different unique content, unique writers on the site. And right now I'm looking at our homepage, and every article is by a different person up at the top of the page. So just take a look anytime, brightsideofthesun.com. We do have, obviously, the Twitter and Facebook presences, but we focus mostly on the content on the website.
So on...
I'm just impressed that you want that that kind to Dave this early in the show.
What kind of Dave?
No, that he was so nice to you this early in the show.
Oh, right? That kind to me. That, yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. That's very nice. I appreciate that.
We're about to tell you you've been cut. Hand in your playbook, please.
No. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's contributed so much to us.
Bright Side of the Sun is such a resource for Suns fans. I mean, I it doesn't make sense to me being a Suns fan in not having Bright Side of the Sun. Is just, you know, the site that you go to, period, for the vast majority of your content. So we spend a lot of time on Suns Reddit on the show, which I find Suns Reddit a really fascinating place, a lot of really interesting people. But there's a lot of interesting people that comment on the articles and everything as well over on Bright Side of the Sun. So, it's a bit interactive.
Yeah,
it's
another thing. It's a two-way really conversation. Good point, Tim, and I'm sorry I didn't bring that up earlier. The biggest part of our website is the actual comment sections. There's a lot of websites out there and a lot of people driving Suns news that is just about the one-way direction of the news, and not a lot of discussion. The whole thing with Bright Side is the community, and is all the people who read the articles and comment on them and talk amongst themselves in the comment sections. Sometimes that can get a little hairy, but I tell you what, Most sites, you never want to look at the comment sections. Oh, no, that's the last thing you want to do. With our sites, actually, it's a great place to go. And in fact, it often has better content than the articles themselves.
We are PHX.
So you are listening to The Solar Panel, a Phoenix Sun show, part of Almighty Baller Radio. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Sun Solar Panel. You can follow Dave King individually at Dave King NBA. You can follow Greg Esposito at Espo. You can follow myself at Radio Tim NBA. And every week on the show, we'd like to give you guys a shout out for giving us a shout out on iTunes, because nothing helps the show more than leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. And this week we have one from...
I actually pulled it up this week. I have it sitting here. So this week we have one from Cody, in quotes, world's biggest Suns fan. He says, this is unquestionably the best Suns podcast out there, and I can't speak highly enough of it. Each of the contributors brings a unique perspective since they differ in age, career, and level of homerism. It is especially great to have a guy like Greg that has actually worked for the team and always has great stories as well as insight. I listen to at least 10 to 15 NBA podcasts, but this is one of the few that I will always listen to immediately as soon as it comes out and be anxious for the next one to come through throughout the week. Keep producing great content. Thanks, Cody. We really appreciate it, man.
Dave, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like these reviews leave you and I out of this equation a lot?
Yep. Actually, you know what? I have thought about this, and I probably should talk to you guys off the air, but you know what? We're all one big community. All the listeners on the Solar Panel are also, because we put this podcast into the On Bright Side of the Sun as well, we're all one big community, so I'll just bring it up. I do think, at least for me, I'm a better writer than I am a podcaster, and I do appreciate it when people listen and give me comments, but I do know that it is Greg who drives our show. Greg is the Suns guy, and if we didn't have Greg, we wouldn't have a show. So I do appreciate Greg being part of the team, and I appreciate being included so I can at least talk about the Suns. And Tim, I think you're not being given enough credit. I think you're a great host as well. And just because you haven't been a part of our community, our folks aren't talking about it, Reddit, things like that, you're more of a radio guy and a voice guy. And so maybe you're not as well known as you should be.
Let me just say this, and this is turning into a bizarre love fest today. I don't know what's going on.
But yeah, I don't either.
I just want to say, you know, this is a team effort here, and the three of us, even though we've never actually met Tim in person, and Dave, you and I like to go back and forth on Twitter to give each other crap. I mean, this is a team effort. I think we've come together pretty well as a team and as a group on this show, and I actually am thoroughly enjoying it, and glad we get to do this, and glad to be part of Brightside with this as well. I've always threatened to come over there and write and do stuff for Brightside, and I actually I'm glad the podcast is there, and I promise I will actually write there sometime soon as well.
Hey, we pay top dollar over here.
I get paid top dollar for all this that I'm doing. I loved when Reddit was like, you're making money off of us. And I was like, yeah, we'll pay you when we get paid for doing this every week. You know?
Exactly. This is all a labor of love, which makes it all that much more more fun, I think.
But there is one way that you can support the Sun Solar Panel. We have a bunch of really fun Phoenix Suns and Solar Panel gear. We have t-shirts, mugs, hats, all of that good stuff. All you got to do, if you want to check it out, because there's really fun. My favorite one is the Solar Panel Sunburst that we have rocking. But there's a whole bunch of different options. Of course, we always tweet it at Sun Solar Panel. But you can always go to Sun's podcast as well as sunshow.com. And there is a banner at the top of the page. And you can just click on that if you want to check out the Solar Panel store. So it's been widely reported that Kristaps Porzingis over at the New York Knicks missed a team meeting. And subsequently, apparently 29 other teams hit up the Knicks asking them if they would be willing to trade Kristaps Porzingis, and seeing how bad of a general manager Phil Jackson really is. So I ask you, gentlemen, this question. Would you trade both, I guess both of the Rooks, but I guess we're talking about Dragan Bender as well as Marquise Chris to the Knicks for Kristaps Porzingis.
I wouldn't trade both of them, but I actually think that the Suns should certainly inquire about this. If you remember back in 2003-2004, the Suns were abysmal. They were a 29-win team. They weren't quite sure how to get themselves out of it. How could they build the next great Suns team? And then a savior named Isaiah Thomas, no, not the one that plays for the Celtics, the former general manager of the New York Knicks, saved the Phoenix Suns franchise by taking Stephon Marbury and the corpse of Penny Hardaway off the hands of the Suns, and it gave them the cap space and flexibility to sign Steve Nash that offseason. I hope Phil Jackson, after tormenting the Suns in the 93 finals and as the coach of the Lakers, could now be the savior of the Suns by finding a way to get them Kristaps Porzingis and give the Suns somebody to pair with Devin Booker, who could who has legitimate star power now, and I think could grow into a superstar in the future with the right cast around him. I have some ideas, but I'm going to save them for the next beautiful part of the program that we get into, because I think it'll play well into what we're also going to talk about there. But I would love to see the Suns aggressively go after Kristaps and figure out a way to pry him from the Knicks, because if we know anything about the Knicks, they're going to do something stupid this offseason, and the Suns might as well be the beneficiaries of that idiocracy there.
Yeah, I actually, no offense to Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris, but I would trade both of them for Kristaps Porzingis. The guy is a 2010 machine, already there and barely older than them. He's got a great future, and I think he's the kind of guy who would fit really well on this team with a Devin Booker. Having said that, there's no way Phil Jackson is dumb enough to trade Kristaps unless he gets something that good or better in return. Yes, I know in the past we've seen general managers who were wrong about what they thought was better than the guy they had, but it just doesn't seem possible that that guy could be traded to the Suns for any package of players and prospects and all that, not including Devin Booker. And if you're going to acquire Porzingis, you don't trade Devin Booker. You're going to have them grow together. So definitely I would trade both rookies. I just don't see it happening.
This is Phil Jackson, who openly insulted Carmelo Anthony to the media, is forcing Jeff Hornacek to play the triangle there this year. It has caused all sorts of chaos in New York, and used to basically have his players do all these kooky meditation weird... The point is, Phil Jackson's crazy enough to trade Kristaps Porzingis this offseason. And the fact is, he knows he has 2 years there with the Knicks to potentially try to save his legacy or untarnish his legacy. I think he does some desperate things this offseason to just try to make them winners or make them look better. I think he's dumb enough to trade Kristaps Porzingis.
Kristaps Porzingis, his first season, he played 72 games. Second season, he played 66, started in 65 of them. To Dave's point, he averaging 18 points and 7 rebounds, so not quite a 20-10 guy, but a lot of value. A lot of people think maybe he's not built, you know, to play a full season in the NBA. Does his injury history, would that give you cause for concern with trading both Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris for a player like that?
I think he's just growing into his body. The guy is only, what, now he's 22 maybe? Possibly 23 next season, I think. And I think he's just growing into that body. I think Dragan Bender will have the same kind of early career as far as health. He already showed it this year. It's tough being a lanky 7-footer in the NBA who's expected to protect the rim on occasion and guard these bigger, stronger, fully mature guys. I can't tell you how many times Earl Watson reminded us last year that these guys on the Suns are 19, 20, 21 years old. They're not going to have their full NBA bodies for 4 or 5 years. So Porzingis is in that same boat. And the more minutes you play and the more you bang them around under the basket, the harder it's going to be to stay healthy. So I don't think Porzingis is any more injury prone than Dragan Bender, Dragan Bender. I keep saying that wrong. Sorry, John Bloom. I know you're listening to this. but you know what I have been impressed with very much is that Marquise Chris and Devin Booker have shown an incredible ability to stay on the court despite their age, despite their undeveloped bodies, and you know, fight through any kind of falls and scrapes. And I think Marquise Chris used to be a tight end or a defensive end in high school football, and he's shown that he's got the ability to absorb hits and stay in the game. He's had some really nasty falls, and he just gets right up and keeps playing. So, you know, I'm impressed with that. There are some exceptions to the rule on guys needing to grow into their NBA bodies as far as being able to withstand injury, but I don't think Porzingis is going to have a long history of that.
No, and I think if your premise is trading Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris for Kristaps, you've got two guys, to Dave's point, that also don't have NBA bodies. So you're looking at a similar situation. I'm not concerned with anybody in their health coming to the Suns because we've got the training staff mafia, and these guys are miracle workers. I still don't know where they hid the Fountain of Youth in that building. I looked at when I was there with the team and couldn't ever find it, but they were the ones that rejuvenated Grant Hill's career. They rejuvenated Shaq's career. I think they can keep Kristaps Porzingis healthy if he were a Phoenix Sun.
You guys studying the moves that Ryan McDonough does a bit more closely than I do, what kind of package do you think realistically the Suns would offer for Porzingis?
I think Ryan would actually offer a lot because he is a guy who likes to get that top-end young prospect. He did not offer a lot, though, for DeMarcus Cousins, from what I understand, a few months ago, because Cousins could be a free agent in a year and leave the team entirely. So Ryan McDonough is a bottom-line guy. Now, so I'm giving my answer before Espo, because Espo has been a lot closer to McDonough than I have. So at least I can get mine out and not look bad by comparison. But I really do think McDonough is going to, or would be willing to make a big offer for Porzingis, but so are 29 other teams. And the question is, what do the Knicks really want? And I really don't think Phil Jackson wants to go even younger and even more rebuildy with anything McDonough can offer.
I think what I've learned about Ryan McDonough is what he's going to do is the thing you probably least expect. Because when it's come to trades, he's come out of nowhere. And you know, especially if you go back and look at all of his trades, you did not hear rumors about it before it happened. It just happened and came out of nowhere. I remember the Eric Bledsoe trade was out of far right field. And if you remember, it was Jared Dudley in a second rounder, if I'm not mistaken, that they got Eric Bledsoe for. We all know that he was forced into a corner when it came to Isaiah Thomas and Goran Dragic, but he also found a way at the very last second to turn Markieff Morris into a first round pick. Let me tell you the story about that. We're sitting there, and I know Reddit doesn't like when I mentioned that I worked for the team, but too damn bad I did, and I know stuff from when I worked there. We're sitting there last year, we're 10 minutes before the trade deadline, and we're told, prepare, because Markieff Morris isn't going anywhere, so you're going to have to be ready. There was statements that were being drafted so we could tell the media when they asked why and all these things. We were basically hunkered down, preparing for the worst, because everybody's going to be pissed off that Markieff Morris was still on this roster. We're in a meeting. It's all the business side executives and the basketball communications people. And then all of a sudden, with minutes to go in the trade deadline, we get an alert that Ryan McDonough found a way to flip Markieff for that first-round pick. It literally came out of nowhere. He worked to the final seconds and figured out a way to do it. This guy finds ways around things, and I'm really glad because shitstorm that would have happened if Markieff was still on that roster was not going to be fun for anybody in that building. But I think what he's going to do is he's going to find a way, if he makes a major move and potentially a Kristaps move, is to get in there as part of a three-team deal and work some magic that way. Now, I know we're going to get into our who says no Brandon Knight deals, but since we're talking, I found a way to combine both of these things to land Kristaps in Phoenix to make the Knicks better in Phil Jackson's mind. Now, I don't think it would be in many other people's minds, and help the Clippers out. Look at this. I am fixing problems across the league with one trade. So who says no to this? Blake Griffin and Brandon Knight go to the Knicks. The Clippers get Carmelo Anthony and TJ Warren. And the Suns would also send probably one of the Miami picks or potentially this year's pick. You'd have to figure out which one you want to part with to the Knicks. And the Suns get Kristaps and Luke Mbah-Amute, all right? Who says no to this deal? The Knicks get firepower and star power in Blake Griffin. He gets rid of his problem in Carmelo Anthony. Jeff Hornacek knows Brandon Knight and actually got productive play out of Brandon Knight. I think this could be something that, you know, you could work. Now, you might have to add some sweetener in here and trade maybe a Dragan Bender as well. But I think this is something, and it actually works salary cap wise, that could be enticing.
Well, that was going to be my question to you, does this work salary wise? I don't hate it. I guess I should say, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. I do wonder from the Clippers' perspective why they would be willing to trade a Blake Griffin for a Carmelo Anthony at this point in his career. You look at Carmelo Anthony, who's definitely on the wrong side of his prime. You can look at Blake Griffin and say, yeah, but he has that injury history. That being said, Blake Griffin is a lot younger than a Carmelo Anthony. I'm just not exactly sure what the Clippers are getting out of that. And, you know, Luke Mbah-Amute, like, he's been the Clippers' best small forward, unfortunately. So where does that fit into the equation? It's not a bad trade, but I'm just not sure what the Clippers are really getting out of this.
Mbah-Amute is very replaceable.
He is.
This is simple. This is simple why the Clippers do it. It's simple. Chris Paul, because you have to find a way, if you believe he's the centerpiece of your franchise, to keep him in L.A. He can walk away. But he's buddies with Carmelo Anthony, and there's always been this, he and LeBron and Dwayne Wade want to play together at the end of their careers. Well, guess what? Dwayne Wade is a free agent, can opt out of his contract in Chicago, so you could wind up potentially getting three of those pieces and then try to entice LeBron in a year or two to make his way to L.A. That's what it's about. It's Chris Paul, and that's why you would do it. Now, I don't know that it is... makes complete basketball sense, but the Clippers are at a point where they need to change things. They need to do something differently, and if they want to keep Chris Paul, they got to find a way to keep him happy. I think getting Carmelo Anthony in this type of deal or what, however they would land it, is one of those ways.
Yeah, I definitely think the Clippers need to make some changes this offseason. At least one of those big three is going to be gone. The question is how, and I do see how you're saying that the Knicks might get involved just because of the big blockbuster aspect and getting Carmelo Anthony in there for Chris Paul run. I do think that's all very viable. I just don't see how that gets the Suns anywhere, going forward, and how the Suns are going to get one of the best players out of the out of that trade. I'd love to see that happen. That'd be great in the way that the Suns ended up with Eric Bledsoe a couple of years ago. But I just don't see that coming through that way. But hey, you know what, Greg? Pitch that to Ryan, send it over to him, and let's get this ball rolling.
Yeah, I can't wait for the email that's all just emojis of laughing, crying faces that get sent back to me. I could totally see Ryan just laughing me out of the room with this. There's a reason that I'm on this side of things and I didn't go work in the front office. So.
Have a question or comment about today's episode? Maybe you just want to banter a bit about the Phoenix Suns. It's all good. Hit us up on social. We're on Twitter at Sun Solar Panel and search for Sun Solar Panel on Facebook. So we have a lot of fun with you guys on Twitter at Sun Solar Panel, and we spent the last couple of days where we were throwing out some perspective Brandon Knight trades. So we're going to go through a couple of them. We'll go through mine first. And you guys are going to pretend like you're swiping on Tinder. Dave probably, because he's a little bit older than we are. Mary probably has
you have to tell me which you have to tell me which swipe direction is good and which one's bad. I don't even know that.
You swipe to the right if it's a yes. You swipe to the left if it's a no.
Okay, I'm gonna have to write that one down. Okay.
Right. Okay. So pretending this is NBA tender trading Brandon Knight. First idea. And all of these trades, by the way, do work for salary cap reasons. So the first one we're looking at, you guys can swipe right or swipe left. And all of these trades, by the way, do work for salary cap reasons, putting them through the ESPN trade machine. First off, sending Brandon Knight straight up to the Dallas Mavericks for Wesley Matthews, who has 3 years and $17 million left on his contract.
Okay, yeah, no, I would, so first of all, Dallas is not going to want to trade Wesley Matthews for Brandon Knight. I just don't see Dallas even wanting to do that. Wesley actually played pretty well last year for them. I know he's not quite the same player anymore because of his Achilles, but I think he is a better, he's got a shorter contract. They both have 3 years left, don't they? So maybe it's the same length contract. I just don't see how even Dallas wants to take on Brandon Knight for a straight swap, but it's possible. And if they did, I mean, if I'm the Suns, I would take that because you could play Wesley Matthews next to Devin Booker in a lineup. So I guess I would swipe right on that one, actually, now that I think about it.
I'd swipe left. I get that we're going to have to take probably garbage back for Brandon Knight if you don't add other things in, but I just don't think that's the route I want to go.
I mean, that's the thing. So I'm putting together a couple of these trades, and I'm hearing from some of our listeners on Reddit where they're like, no, I wouldn't do that. I don't know what you guys expect to get back for Brandon Knight. Somebody sent me a trade idea on there on Sun Solar Panel on Twitter where we were getting Boogie Cousins back. No. No one is going to trade you Brandon Knight for Boogie Cousins in any scenario. Any of those players like that, they are not taking on bad money to get rid of a star. It just doesn't work that way. Second trade idea. Okay, the Phoenix Suns, this is another straight-up trade to the Pelicans for Solomon Hill, who has 4 years, $11 million left. Solomon Hill with the U of A connection, a 3-and-D type of player. Brandon Knight, look, if you're the Pelicans, whether or not they can retain Drew Holiday, whether or not they want to retain Drew Holiday, given his injury history, they need a point guard. What do you guys think?
I'd swipe right on that. I'd take a chance on that. The question is, are the Pelicans going to be willing to? And it depends, like, who's their head coach? What style of ball are they going to play? Because I have a feeling, unfortunately, I don't think Alvin Gentry is going to be there next year. So that, I don't know that the Pelicans say yes, but if I'm the Suns, I swipe right on that.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to take the first of all, I don't think the Pelicans would do it. I know Solomon Hill was overpaid certainly for what he got. They put out a lot of mid-range contracts in the last couple of years to try to build a team around Anthony Davis that has failed miserably there in New Orleans. But really, if I'm Dell Demps, who I believe is still the GM over there, although he's on the hot seat and Alvin Gentry's on the hot seat, I don't think they continue to mortgage their potential future by swapping a Solomon Hill for Brandon Knight. But if they do, I would definitely consider it for sure because Solomon Hill is younger, and you know, whatever pieces they swap in to fill out the salary matching if necessary, because the Suns are way under, so they wouldn't have to do that. But I don't think New Orleans is under, so New Orleans would have to send out a lot more salary. So I think the Suns should do that. I just don't think the Pelicans would. But sure, if the Pelicans do that, great. Let's send Brandon Knight over there. I'll swipe right.
All right.
Brandon Knight and Tyson Chandler for Chandler Parsons in Memphis. I think the Grizzlies want to get out of that deal. It gives them a veteran leader. It gives them some potential scoring power behind Mike Conley. And I think the Suns can rejuvenate Chandler Parsons' career behind the aforementioned training staff mafia. Swipe left or swipe right, gentlemen?
I'm going to go swipe left on this, and that's because there are literally two contracts in the NBA that I don't want the Suns to take in order to get rid of Brandon Knight. One is Chandler Parsons, and the other one is Joakim Noah. So simply because of that, I would swipe left. At least Brandon Knight can play, where I think Chandler Parsons, there's a really good chance he can't play.
Chandler Parsons, now that guy... has made so much money in his career off of so little since his first or second year in the NBA.
It's impressive.
I just can't believe it. I'm still remembering his little midnight party with Mark Cuban when he signed with Dallas to leave Houston and basically showing the finger to Daryl Morey. And then pretty much doing the same thing when he left Memphis and getting into a Twitter beef, actually Twitter short little back and forth with CJ McCollum last year after the Portland tried to sign him and he went with the Grizzlies anyway. And then it's been an interesting career for Chandler Parsons. Here's the deal with Brandon Knight. Brandon Knight is a great guy, but he is never going to work out for the Suns. So whatever contract you can get back for Brandon Knight is really the only issue. It's not really the player. So the problem with Chandler Parsons is the contract, not the player. That contract is terrible, even worse than Knight's. He makes Knight's contract look awesome and cheap and all that, just like Joakim Noah's contract makes Tyson Chandler look awesome and cheap as well. So I hear what you're saying, but this is the dregs we're working with, because I'll be pointing out one of my contracts that are one of my trades that's actually just contract swaps that covers the other half of don't ever pick up that contract, Tim. So I'm with you on swiping left on not acquiring Chandler Parsons, simply because the contract is even worse for the Suns' future than Brandon Knight's.
All right. Well, I'm doing these in order of how I expected you guys to swipe, and I expected that. I'm still okay with it, but I expected you guys to do that. So next one, Knight to Sacramento, likely with a pick for Rudy Gay and Willie Cauley-Stein.
Okay. Sacramento's not going to do that. They just aren't going to do that. Now, I do think the Rudy Gay is really interesting, but I just think that there is zero chance that they're going to throw Willie Cauley-Stein in any trade to bring back Brandon Knight. So I'm swiping left, not from the Sun side, from Sacramento side, just because
This is a team that traded Boogie Cousins for what amounted to Buddy Hield. I mean, come on. They're dumb enough to do anything.
Well, I think
we'll send 30 packs of cigarettes to Vladdy with it to make it work. We'll figure out a way.
Well, partially, I think that they sent off Boogie Cousins. Not that I agree with it, but partially, I think they did it because they did believe in Willie Cauley-Stein. He is their best young prospect on that roster that they have right now. And I just don't see them parting with Willie Cauley-Stein for Brandon Knight.
Yeah, I don't think the Willie Cauley-Stein. Well, I don't know. Sacramento might trade Willie Cauley-Stein because they might be real excited about Scala BCA getting in there. I'm not sure if those two can long-term play side by side or if they should. Willie Cauley-Stein is a good prospect, but I don't think he's a great one. And so, yeah, I do think the Kings would trade him. I've never been a Rudy Gay fan, but he does have a short contract, so I would definitely consider that. My biggest downside of Rudy Gay acquisition is that he is what Marquise Chris mentioned as his favorite NBA player last year when he came out in the draft. And I really don't want to see Marquise Chris become Rudy Gay light. And I really want Marquise Chris to be a power forward. And if he had Rudy Gay on his team constantly, we might see a different Marquise Chris going forward, skill set wise, which could be a good thing. But I've not really ever been a fan of Rudy Gay's game, so I don't really want a new version of that in Marquise Chris. So I'd probably swipe left, I think, to say no on that trade.
All right. The final one that I have, and it's Brandon Knight and Leandro Barbosa to Detroit for Reggie Jackson and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. This is what you call a shit swap. It's two teams who have people that they don't want, and you just swap them, and you hope Brandon Knight goes back to the kind of guy he was in Detroit originally, and you hope Reggie Jackson, a reset for him, winds up helping out.
I'll swipe right if the Suns move Eric Bledsoe and draft a point guard.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think Detroit has already shown that the Reggie Jackson Caldwell Pope backcourt is not really a good one. I remember seeing some stats on that there's something about Pope plays a lot better without Jackson. I'm pretty sure that that's the pairing that I saw that stat on, but I could be wrong, so please forgive me if I am. I think overall they profile well together as far as a score first point guard and a 3-and-D shooting guard. I just don't think they fit that well in Detroit, and then they wouldn't fit that well in Phoenix either. So that would be an interesting swap. Again, it would just be getting Brandon Knight out. The problem with Reggie Jackson is that he really wants to be the man, and he doesn't want to give up the rock for anything, and he's kind of like a supercharged version of Brandon Knight. So I'm not really sure if that gets the Suns anywhere.
So where do you swipe?
I you know what? I'm going to swipe left on that one. So I'm going to say no on that trade.
All right. Well, you are up, Mr. Dave.
Okay. So sorry, Greg. I think I just swiped no on every single one of those trades, which is funny because I really want Brandon Knight out. No, I think I said yes on one of them. Okay. So I've got two that you guys are probably not going to like either. I've got Brandon Knight straight up to New York for Joakim Noah.
Does the man bun come along? Is the man bun's involved in this? I'm out. I swipe left every time.
No.
Oh, man. The Suns have wanted Joakim Noah for forever, and he'll finally be able to get him.
No. That's a hard left. Hard left. I'm not taking back that contract.
I agree. I would swipe left. That is one of the uglier things you would see on Suns Tinder. I would be swiping left pretty hard.
I mean, we're talking 4 years, $70 million of a Joakim Noah who played like 20 games this year. No.
No, he's got the same contract length left that Brandon Knight does. So it's just a matter of what kind of presence you want to have on your bench.
Right.
Okay, fine. I won't fight back for mine.
When I hear that deal, I imagine it would be like what women would think if they saw me on Tinder right now. It would just be, oh God, no. Let's get that off the screen.
All right. My other one, I only came up with two. I literally went through all 30 teams and I only could find two trades that I think would fit. I'll say, before I say this last trade for you guys to swipe right or left on, let me just make sure I've made clear what my position on a Brandon Knight trade is. It really is. He's going to be part of a larger deal that gets the Suns something they want on the side. For example, if the Knicks were willing to do some kind of pick swap adjustment thing that got the Suns higher picks, drafting a guy they really wanted, then I think the Suns would consider a Noah-Brandon Knight trade, but not as Noah to Brandon Knight. It would be the other pieces in the trade, for example. So any of these trades would be part of something that gets the Suns something different than the contract they got back from the other team, and the Suns were just absorbing that to make it happen. Okay, my last one is, and this would be some kind of where there'd be extra pieces involved that would involve someone else the Suns want, would be trading Brandon Knight to Indiana for Monte Ellis. He has 2 years left, $10 million a year on his contract. That's basically you're swapping player for player, and it's a contract thing. So in fact, in this scenario, the Suns would probably have to give up more on the other pieces side than they get back. And I don't think their salary cap really requires that right now, but I could still see that kind of trade happening if the other pieces are interesting.
Would they have to give up a pick?
Well, like I said, it'd have to involve some kind of pick swap. But right now, I mean, you could just do the trade straight up.
Straight up, I'd swipe right on that.
I would too, and I'd do it quick before Indiana got a chance to look at the Walking Dead's highlights from last year.
So looking back at all of our trades, the only ones that it seemed like all of us agreed on was the Solomon Hill straight up to from the Pelicans, as well as the Monte Ellis straight up from the Pacers.
I've got one more.
One more.
I just ran this through. It works. Brandon Knight to the unemployment line for absolutely nothing. Just buy out the damn contract and be done with it.
Nah.
Wow.
Not my money. What do I care if Robert Sarver has to eat all that cash? It's fine with me.
So you could either eat it all in 3 years and just do that, or you can stretch it out over seven.
At this point, I don't care. You know, there's a chance you get stuck with this guy for 4 years because nobody wants him. And the longer you go, the harder it's going to be to trade him. Like I said, not my money. So if they have to do that, I'm fine with it.
I don't want their cap situation being handicapped by a Brandon Knight buyout, essentially, their stretch provision, I should say, that lasts 7 years to when they're going to be competitive. And over the next 3 years, I just don't think it really matters to have that money on the books because, you know, most of these players that they're going to be coming up for extensions on, all the rooks, it's not for a few years anyway.
Then buy him out, don't stretch it, and have the money sitting there. You're going to have to take a bad contract back if you trade him. And so the question is, do you want to have to go through the headache of having somebody else's bad contract on your roster, or do you just want to get out from it? Now, we all know Robert Sarver's not going to spend the money to do that, but it's just a thought because I just don't think you need to have this on your roster right now and just deal with it because it's going to constantly be a question.
Yeah, I would swipe right on that one.
Are you interested in some really creative t-shirt designs that show your love of the Phoenix Suns as well as your support of the Solar Panel at Phoenix Suns Podcast? Go to sunsatpodcast.com and check out all of our gear. The link's at the top of the page where you can pick yourself up some Suns Solar Panel merch. Again, just go to sunspodcast.com.
So I tweeted out the other day at Radio Tim NBA is Lonzo Ball is not even in the NBA yet, and I am already tired of dealing with this guy.
No, I can't stand. Okay, it's not fair to say I can't stand Lonzo Ball. I can't stand LeVar Ball. I cannot take this guy anymore. And the straw that broke the camel's back for me was $495 sneakers. Okay, maybe I can deal with that. But they're selling big baller brand flip-flops, the kind that you would have worn in a shower in college so you didn't get fungus from all the other people who use that shower.
Slides.
Yeah. $220. Give me a freaking break. People want to say that Lonzo is this good kid. I don't know. I don't know him personally. He very well could be. They want to say that he's a leader. But if he was a leader, at some point he stands up to his dad and goes, I'm not okay with this. You're screwing with my career. They had Nike basically say, one of the executives at Nike say that LeVar Ball is the worst thing to happen to basketball in 100 years. All right. They had all the major shoe companies tell him to go take a hike. Basically said, we're not going to do this deal with you. We don't want big baller brand. We want Lonzo to be part of our brand. He's causing all sorts of issues where he's just making asinine assertions. He's the Kris Jenner of basketball. Okay, I wrote about this on Sports 360 AZ. He has basically admitted in a piece to The Undefeated that he selected their mother because she had the right height, the right build, and the right birthing hips to give him basketball prodigies. All right, this guy has basically tried to develop these kids to be just basketball stars. He's been obsessed with it. And instead of a sex tape that launched Kim Kardashian's career, he's got a highlight tape that launched Lonzo's. It's the same thing. And I don't hold it against Lonzo. I actually kind of feel bad for him because he didn't choose his dad. He didn't choose the stuff his dad's doing. But at some point, if he's going to be successful in the NBA and everybody says, whoa, LeVar will just disappear into the background at some point. The only way that happens is if Lonzo stands up to him and says, Dad, this is my career. This is my life. And I have to be in charge, not you. So sit there, shut up, and let me take care of this. We've yet to see that. That's what worries me about it with this, because I don't believe that LeVar Ball is just going to go become a wallflower at some point magically after an NBA team drafts him. And the Phoenix Suns have one chance to actually turn this thing around. I really feel that this draft pick is going to determine the trajectory of the next 5 to 10 years for the Suns franchise. Do you really roll the dice on Alonzo Ball if his dad could turn into one of the biggest problems your franchise has to deal with? And that's before you even look at the fact that they all want him to play for the Lakers, your rival, and you're going to have a guy that probably doesn't want to be in Phoenix.
Yeah, I think Lonzo Ball would end up
wanting to play in any market that he ends up playing in, and his dad would just adjust that way too. I don't think we'd constantly hear about Laker love until it became close to free agency. And then, like Paul George, the rumors would fly, and Kevin Durant going to Washington, the rumors would fly until whether they came true or not. The biggest problem is that the Suns would actually just have to change their franchise name to the Phoenix Balls, because there wouldn't be anything left of the Suns franchise once the Balls got their mitts onto the franchise and committed. It would just become the Big Baller Suns, or the Phoenix Big Ballers, or whatever. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the Suns franchise anymore with LeVar Ball hovering over this situation. This is the kind of thing that Suns fans have always said they hate about the LA life, is that the LA life is all about branding and name recognition and individuals, and the Suns franchise has always been about a team of underdogs who are trying to, you know, to get up over the hump and everything. This would change the entire direction of the franchise if you draft Lonzo Ball and his family. I just don't see that working out in the Suns' best interest long term. I think it would just be like a Phoenix, except the burning up into ashes part, and then we'd have to have a whole new rebirth 5-10 years from now. I just don't see that being a good thing for the franchise at all. So I would do a hard pass on Lonzo Ball. I've got my big board up on brightsideofthesun.com, and I've got two of them now, one in March and one in April, that basically doesn't even have Lonzo Ball in the top four of our picks. And I even took him off the top five. So I really don't think he's the right guy for this franchise. And there's those shoes, someone tweeted going, something called a Big Baller brand sounds like something you buy at Walmart for $15, not something you buy for $495 when you could buy some new Jordans for half that price. But I just think it's just ridiculous.
The best thing is if you go to the Big Baller brand website and you look at some of the t-shirts, it's LeVar modeling them. You can tell it's him, but the picture is cut off at the chin and it's just the chest down, and it's just ridiculous. It's like this haphazard thing, yet they're trying to sell this this merchandise for huge money, and it's just ridiculous. Prove something to me. If you come into the league and you're a star and you're on LeBron's level and you want to start your own brand and throw $500 sneakers out there, more power to you. But prove something to me before you try to do that.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at SunSolarPanel, because we have been retweeting some hilarious reactions to those shoes. Mailbag. Our favorite part of the show is hearing from you guys on Mailbag. So if you haven't done so yet, make sure that you follow us on Facebook at Sun Solar Panel, because every Friday we put up a post calling for your mailbag questions. We're running out of time today, so we're only going to have time to get to one, but let's go ahead and do it. Dalton Davilia on Facebook says, could we play Bender at a guard spot just to try and see? He said he grew up playing point guard, so maybe if he puts on some muscle and polishes up his three-point shot, he can be a fun option, like a less athletic Giannis, just with more shooting potential. He can move pretty fast on his feet and can attack at the rim pretty good for how skinny he is. This might be so stupid. Just let me know what your guys' thoughts are.
I don't see him playing guard. Could I see him being a part in the offense where he becomes a point forward, where he's actually, you know, passing the ball more and controlling that? Maybe, but I don't see him. Are you going to play him at shooting guard? Like, I don't see that working, but I could see it where you build an offense where he can handle the ball at times and be an integral part of your actual passing. I could see that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I see Dragan being somebody who can handle the ball and create offense and all that, and finish if he does develop some strength. I know Giannis is something that I really don't want any players compared to anymore, because he is just so unique. No one's going to be able to do that, driving in the half court and just not even leaving his feet and slamming the ball home over a defender almost his size often. So I hate putting anybody into a you could be
a Giannis kind of guy. However, I do see Bender as being very unique. I've always made the Andre Kirilenko comparison for him, where he could be a 5x5 guy on any given night, with all the, you know, steals, blocks, assists, rebounds, and points. I think he could be an all-around really good player with a great ability to defend all three front court positions and occasionally just switch out onto the perimeter and deny threes. I think all that could be a very good career for him. So I am looking forward to that, and some of it will be creating his own shot and creating shots for others. And so if you qualify that as point guard, sure, but I don't see him actually being the main ball handler in any lineup.
Yeah, to me, he's a Nick Batum type player, but a point forward to Espo's point earlier, and I think he has a lot of potential. But thank you, everybody, so much for listening to this on Solar Panel, a Phoenix Suns show. Don't forget to follow us individually on Twitter. You can follow Greg Esposito at Espo, Dave King at Dave King NBA, as well as myself at Radio Tim NBA. And you can follow the show anytime. Hit us up there on Twitter and on Facebook at Suns Solar Panel.
We are PHX.